Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to episode 25 of STK Surviving the Knicks. Give it up, y'all. Give it up.
We are back in the building.
We've got my brothers here with me. You know what I'm saying? We're all here finally together. Voltron, all together as one. We got my brother Coach B from the BX. What's going on, brother?
Yo, it was a good stretch, and then, you know, a slap of reality, man. Shout out to Tibbs. That's what I want to start there. It'll be nice.
Free Obi.
Been happening often.
Free Obi.
Been happening often.
There we got my brother from another, Ed Dollars in the building. What's going on, my brother?
Yo. No I can't doubt. Shake this cold, but you know what? I got to be with my boys tonight.
That's right.
Wrapping up the best month that the Knicks had. And it's too bad that we fall short today, but it was a fun game.
And last but not least, the undisputed, the indomitable.
Hey. Jesus Christ.
Wall Street Heck, what's going on, my brother?
He unmuted himself.
After the way this season has played out, man, I'm not talking Knicks tonight. Every time it's my turn to talk, I'm going to talk about how I feel about the Will Smith, Chris Rock situation. I got a lot to say about that.
Week, are you going to defer?
Well, let's talk about it.
Listen, we got a whole segment on that. We got to hear your Knicks takes first, my brother. Bless us with those first. Because I'm maybe sure we're in for a funny
one or
night
two.
Tonight.
One or two.
All right. And yeah. Before we get into this, just want to show y'all real quickly, okay, y'all that are out there, okay, my brothers, we're a legit show. My brothers yes. are on there. You know what I'm saying? They're all on there hosting. Check them
That's
out.
Some pic, heck. You got a nice little picture there.
This is all from Instagram. All these are from Instagram because I'm like, yo, I was like about to say, yo, send me a picture. And I'm like, wait, I'm not doing that. That just sounds crazy. I'm not that, yo, send me a pic. And then it was like 10 at night too. I was like, hey, what are you doing, heck? What are you talking about? But I got my brothers on there. Don't say I wanted to make sure that my brothers definitely got credit for the hard work and effort and for surviving the Knicks. You know what I mean? And so, you know, these are my brothers. You check them out. You can search them as creators on Podchaser or just look us up on that platform as well as all the other platforms that are out there. We're on a lot of stuff. So check us out. All right. So let's get into this, shall we? Knicks lost this game. They were up for a little while. At one point, they were up like in the second quarter. I kind of stopped watching because I had some other things to do, and I'm kind of gonna lean on you guys to give me the second half takes. But the Knicks, they seem to be doing well. They seem to be in a groove, and it just didn't work out for them. If you look at the plus minuses, you know, Randall, 21 points, only 5 rebounds. It's crazy. -4. The high man, Evan Fournier, was 30 points, but he probably gave up 30 points. I don't know. I figure you guys will help me with that one. Barrett, the lone glimmer in the darkness of despair. Okay, at 25 points. He's been doing amazing things, as Ed pointed out last week on the pod, where he's one of 3 players under or to reach statistical level at 21, and it was only him, LeBron James, and Luka Doncic. Great company.
Let's applaud him. He finally averages. He's averaging 20 points for the season. As of the last game.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, he's at 20 points. Yeah, man. So let's get into this, man. I mean, Wall Street. I know there's other things you want to talk about. I know you're disgusted.
It's Jada's fault, Wall Street. Jada's fault.
But Wall Street, give us a take on tonight's game and what were your thoughts,
man? Every year I watch, you know, virtually every Knick game unless I'm super busy, but there's always a couple of teams that, like, I can't, you know, I try to catch as often as possible. Mm-hmm. And this year has been a lot of Charlotte, man. I love this squad. They are one or two pieces away. And they ran into the Knicks towards the end of the season. We kind of playing the best basketball we've been playing pretty much all season. And it's because the young guys are gelling. And if you look at it, it's not even Randle. Randle's really struggling, and the team is kind of still pushing forward. RJ Barrett, he has been playing the best basketball of his career, I think. Like, he is so, like, in control. He's so balanced. He's getting into the lane, and he's sidestepping, a little Euro stepping, and it's unstoppable. I'm telling you, RJ, and we've been talking about it, RJ's superpower is he's really strong. So when you run into him, you're going to feel it. He knocks you back, kind of like a running back. You know, he runs like a strong running back. You know, so he's just in his game, and we've been playing the best ball that we've been playing. But, you know, we ran into a Charlotte that is, you know, getting ready to take it into the next level. LaMelo Ball is special, very special. Yeah, 15 dimes tonight. But yeah, we've been playing probably the best basketball that we've been playing all season. So the only positives that you could really take, and you know, before we got on air, you guys were talking about playoff berths and how many games are left in the season. I can't believe that you guys are still looking at that. I'm looking at now, you know, I don't even really care to be into the playoffs, man. If we, like, what how many games are left? I don't even know. I don't even care.
Six games.
It doesn't matter.
We're five back.
The only thing that matters right now is that RJ took a step. It looks like quickly shook off that, you know, that what they call it, the sophomore year wall. You know, it looks like he's kind of like shaking that off a little bit. So yeah, I'm happy with the progression of the young guys. But, you know, que sera, sera, surviving the Knicks, they call it, right?
Surviving the Knicks. There you go. There you go. Ed Dollars, what was your take tonight, brother?
Is your mute button ready?
2 minutes, Ed. 2 minutes.
Yo, the Knicks were, you know what? I've been liking the way they've been playing, man. They won four in a row until today's game. You know, Julius took two games off in that little span, and the young Knicks were really attacking the glass and going for it. You know, my man Deuce is playing well. Quickly, as you mentioned, Heck, you know, he shook off the sophomore slump, you know, and has been, like, really playing a new type of point guard, like Lou Williams meets Crawford type of guard. But it really worked for the Knicks. And RJ was really attacking, man. RJ has been really playing well. And you know what? Obi has been playing well in that four game stretch. Today, we just met the better team. You know, they have the better point guard. They got the better bigs. We were basically even through three quarters, and they kind of separated us. They separated in the fourth quarter, where Bridges was really attacking the glass, and Julius wasn't trying to have it today. There was a situation where Bridges came in for the dunk. Julius could have stepped right in front of him. He didn't. Julius quit on the team a couple of games ago, so, you know.
Wow.
But, you know, I'm kind of torn, man. You know, last year we were the fourth seed. This year we're the 11th seed. We're not going to make the playoffs. There's pros and cons to not making the playoffs. Pros is we get a good high draft pick, you know, top 10, probably maybe top 7. Bad is that we signed Julius based on last year, thinking that he would propel us. Good, you know, RJ's really stepping into his own. You know, we can probably build around him. Bad, Julius's contract, Tibbs is a coach. So, you know, I'm a little torn, but the last five games have been fun.
That's a hot take right there. That's a hot take right there. Oh, man. Coach.
Yeah, like, real quick, like, your tips, get your boy, man. Like, come on, like.
Oh, man.
As far as this game today is concerned, like, coming off of a three-game, yeah, I think it was like a four-game winning streak. Yeah, the Charlotte made adjustments. We played them last Wednesday, you know, it worked in our favor. We played them this Wednesday, and they had the extra grit. They had a decision maker that was not going to be denied. Big shout out to Burke. Started out the game strong. Had, like, I think, like, 6-7 rebounds in the first quarter. So, like, you know, that tells that he was fighting. But like the rest of the team wasn't really fighting with him. Like everybody else, like plays like this easy kind of game for the most part. Offensively, we shot the ball decent, but it didn't help when it mattered most. Like we couldn't get a stop that on those last 3 minutes. And it's a shame because Julius turned the ball over. He missed a free throw. You know, he gave up like 2 shooting fouls. I'm like, man, like when you needed to stop, we couldn't get it. And that's how Charlotte ended up pulling away. So on that end, it's like Tibbs, like you was doing so well. Obi only played 12 and a half minutes. Like, come on, like he's on a hot streak. Like he's riding high right now. I understand you're trying to keep the game close, like, but let the guy go, man. He was second off the bench as far as minutes, but Jesus. Let the kid get that get the 18 to 20 minutes no matter what, and you know, see what happens, because that last stretch wasn't cool. And RJ at the 4 was, I guess it makes sense. It didn't work today.
Okay. All right.
Yo, on Twitter, there was all sorts of rumors that Julius was asking out of New York.
Yeah.
It turned out to be not right, not real, but what's going on with Julius, man? What's going on with him?
Yeah. So I mean we could either talk about the plus minus of the Knicks 4-game stretch or their latest run, or we could talk about Julius. What do you guys? In fact, you know what? Wall Street. I mean you guys can pick out of the two, whichever you want. Wall Street, what do you want to address? Julius Randle, or you want to address whether the latest run, whether or not the Knicks should have just tanked the season or not? Do you think this run was good? Which one do you want to tackle?
Let me touch up on a little bit of both because they have a lot to do with each other, actually, you know? But okay. The run was nice, you know? But what I feel with Julius, and I had talked about it before, is, you know, you come off the best season of your career and your organization gives you nothing. That's a hard pill to swallow. You know, so I think that, you know, he got a little bit of growing pains. It's hard to play in New York. And that's what you're seeing with Julius Randle right now is just another example of that. It's hard to succeed here. It's no joke when they say, if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, Julius Randle is still in a position, even with as bad as he played this year, he's still in a position where he would have, I don't know about his contract, but whatever it is with his contract, but if he gets himself in a position where he could decide where he wants to go, there'll be a lot of teams looking for him. And there's a couple of teams that are in playoff contention or even in championship contention that could use a guy like Julius. You know, they could take a guy like Julius and really get over the top with him, especially, you know, he's a big body, man. Those rebounds that he's getting, they are not by accident. He doesn't live above the rim. So how is he getting these rebounds? It's because he's technical with it and he boxes out and he's strong. If you look at some of his assists, he's doing even no-look passes. He's really developed and he's a big, big body. He's a poor man LeBron James or B man LeBron James. You know, he's a poor man LeBron James. Because what does he do? Listen.
Oh, wow,
listen,
bro.
What? Listen. Yo, come on, man. LeBron come on. Okay. He's a poor man. Listen.
LeBron James on crack.
Listen. I heard a saying one time when I was younger. They say that dude is definitely not Jordan, but the way he played tonight was Jordan-esque. What is Jordan? Jordan is 30 points a night, right? Consistently for his whole career, right? That's what Jordan was. He was the GOAT at doing it night in, night out throughout the playoffs and throughout the finals, especially. But on a given night, you can look great. So what did Julius Randle do when he was great? When he took the Knicks to the playoffs, he brought the ball up from the power forward position, ran through picks, found guys and got assists, got to the basket, got to the free throw line, and hit a lot of mid-range shots.
That shit don't even sound good.
This is what he did. He played his game and it kind of mimicked LeBron James, but it wasn't as good as LeBron James. But on a given night, he gave you 30 points, 9 assists, and 8 rebounds. He ain't LeBron, but that's LeBron-esque. LeBron does that consistently for his whole career. Julius Randle does not do that consistently for his whole career. But he did just prove to us that he could do that for a season. So if you put him in another in a comfortable position, he can be really good again. And if he's not happy in New York,
he's done.
Listen, he's you can't, after the season that, I'm going to end it right here. After the season that he had, you can't pay him nothing less than like a third option on a great team. You put him with a Luka and whoever else they got riding over there, whoever else is their number two guy. I thought, when Dame was playing ball at his max and he had CJ before the injury and they were really clicking, you throw Julius in there, it's Ay Bendito time. It's Ay Dios time.
That's no defense. Saying?
So what happened with Julius is that he didn't get the help. Look at Julius Randle. He's been playing, except for when he first got into the league, he had no vet. Right? When he first got into the league, he had a vet. But shortly after that, he didn't have no vet. He was always around young guys. Now he comes to the Knicks. He comes to the Garden, and he's asked to be the guy. And you know what he does? He takes us to the playoffs. He takes a young RJ Barrett. He brings Obi to the playoffs. He brings Quickly to the playoffs. And now, now it's like, all right, Madison Square, this is what I did for you. What are you going to do for me? Here's Kimba and Evan. Come on, man. I'd be stressed out too. You just gave me Kimba and Evan after I just put this team on my back. Kimba's not even playing no more. And now, this is my last point. When I first got on the show, I started talking about fool's gold. Right. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Now we got Evan Fournier looking like fool's gold picked out of diamond titanium because he's the number one three-point shooter in Knicks history, and he's probably going to get a motherfucking bag for it. And that sucks because Evan Fournier fucking sucks, okay? He sucks.
Speak your truth, my brother. Yo, Ed. Go ahead, brother. Speak your truth.
Titanium wrap, diamond, gold, fake gold.
I agree. He would be a great second or third option on a good team. Julius.
You know,
I don't know about the LeBron stuff, but I agree. Yes. He's not a bad player, but, you look what's going on. The league scouted him. It became predictable. And I think part of that's the coach. But Ed, what's your thoughts?
My thought is that, we got Julius Randle was fool's gold last year. Last year, I was the biggest Julius cheerleader. And, shot 40% from the three-point line last year. His career average is like 33%. This year, he shot 32% from the free throw line, from the three-point line. You know what kind of statistical drop-off that is? 8 points? That's like getting hit by lightning three times while walking to your car every morning. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. And he did it because last year was the fluke year. The rest of the years is the regular years. We paid him based off of the fluke year. And, Hector, you're right. He's a good number three on a championship team. The problem is he's getting max money now. So if the Knicks
getting max money. He got paid under it, though. He took like $103 million, which is
He got max money for the year he came out. If he waited another year, he could have got a more max. But based his tenure and his time, he got max money. He's going to make, $35 million next year. You know what I'm saying? So, unfortunately, I've been reading a lot of articles that basically say that, it's getting to the point where if we try to trade Randle, we may have to attach a first-round draft pick with it. And again, it's not that he's been bad. What endured Randle to the fans last year is the fact that he worked hard. He was always working. He was outworking the other opponents. He got paid, and now obviously, human nature, he's backing off a little bit. You know what? His defense fell off. His three-point shot fell off. And last year, the entire offense revolved around him. You know what I'm saying? Reggie was passing him the ball. Alfred Payton was passing him the ball, looking off RJ. Mm-hmm. Now, there's been, in the beginning of the year, he was still the offensive generator. And now he's starting to be the sidekick, and he doesn't like that. Lastly, his leadership. All right, Your numbers fell a little bit. Cool. All right. But what about your leadership? Yesterday, 2 days ago, when they played that other game, they won the game. He threw the ball in the stands and walked off angry. He's not a good leader, man. He's not a good leader. So what are we paying for? We're paying for someone that had a statistical drop-off tremendously. A guy that's only averaging 20 points a game. A guy that, yes, he's averaging good rebounds and good assists, but that means that the ball has to be in his hands at all times. And lastly, he's a sourpuss. I also read that sometimes in the locker room, he gets dressed in another locker room. He doesn't like interact with the team, man. He don't want to be there no more. And it's hurting the Knicks. And it's like, you know, it's an age old story. You're at a job, you're the leader of your job. And then a newbie comes in and takes away your shine and you're hating. And he's hating on RJ. And obviously the system works better when it runs through a guard. And you know what? When we get a better point guard, it'll run even better. And that pushes him aside. And he's not liking that. He liked the fact that the ball was going through his hands every single possession, every single time. And now it's not. And I'm not sure he can handle it. And you know what? And the year that he had that statistical anomaly, it was also the COVID year, the bubble year. Mm-hmm. And there was no fans in the stands. Yo, this is New York, man. You got to accept the booze. The booze is part of it. You go down with the ship with the booze and that brings you up and you come out like the Firefox in flames and shit. And we're all endeared to that. And I don't think he has it mentally up there. So it's very disappointing. I was a big Randall fan, but I think it's time to move off of Randall. And I think he's good. You know, I think he's a good number two, number three. He's a good number two on an okay team. He's a good number three on a really playoff team. Where we are at right now and where he's at in his career, he needs to move on.
Yo, man, this is a generation of people not being held accountable. Like, for all this, you know, all the coaching that Tibbs does, he got the baby blanket covering Julius Randle's face right now. Like, he does whatever he can to coddle him, you know, like, oh, you had a bad game yesterday. Okay, I'm not going to sub you out as much this game. Like, yo, bro, Obi's hot. Right. Like, run with him. Don't cater to Randle, you know, hoping that he gets his swagger back. And look, it costs you a game. Like, it's sad. It's very, very annoying to see. Across the board in the past few games, he's done, you know, in that stretch where Obi played at least 20 minutes, like, we were winning games. You know, like, Obi's going to make the right play. Like, we talked about it last week. Like, you know, he's it's easier to play with him because he's going to run hard. You know, he's going to be unselfish. So, you know, let Obi rock out, even if he's not as tough defensively. But I'm pretty sure they give you the same amount of effort, especially when Julius Randle's complaining about a call. Like, that's, like, ridiculous. I ain't got nothing else to say about Julius Randle. But big shout-out to Alec Burks because that possession against Detroit was big. And then, like I said, he had a decent game today, even though LaMelo had 15 assists. Like, it's just, you know.
That was hot.
Like, he's not the premier point guard to have, but, you know, he had us in a good place coming in with that four-game win streak. So, like, to me, the biggest thing we can do going forward is build consistency with what we have. So, as annoying as it is to see, keep the same starting five, you know. And then if you want to jump ship after that, like, give him another season. Because, like, this stretch is, like, we're living and dying with it. And Tibbs knows that he made a mistake not giving Obi more minutes. And, like, ultimately, ultimately it could have been a lot easier for the rest of the team. You know, had other guys, you know, the youth been able to hold it down. And I think Quentin Grimes being out, you know, is a big factor in all that as well. But Evan Fournier scored, you know, like, and we needed every basket he made. So, like, I'm not the offense for defense trade is questionable, but, like, yeah, keep the same rotation, man. I mean, keep the minutes. The rotation obviously is what he does, but, like, keep the minutes consistent because the young guys need that. Jericho needs that. And
I don't know. I think that Burke should, like, take a seat back too. You got six more games. We're not making the playoffs. We know who Alex Burke is. Let's see if we can get more minutes for Deuce.
Nah, I think Deuce. He can wait a little bit.
Tough kid. He's
Like he can definitely
play like Deuce. Coach, you play like Deuce.
I appreciate
he's
that.
He's a tough kid. I love the fact that he takes people full court. You don't see that no more.
Yeah, but at this like the same token, it's like Burks is, you know, Tibbs guy. And it's like I don't wanna switch it up and then have it go downhill, especially because Tibbs is already coming back. So build consistency on that end. And like,
but what does it matter right now? We're not making a playoff. So what are we doing? Like,
all
right,
so now, make the playoffs. Right, same thing that
I can't make the playoffs.
The
Hawks won. We got five games. We got six games left. We're five games back. The Hawks won. We lost. We have to win all five games.
Give them the summer.
Everyone else has to lose.
Mate, they take like the last two games, and then you give McBride the summer league and all of some preseason. But you build consistency with the same five. Maybe Julius Randle is less of a baby. You know, like maybe
another thing about Julius Randle is that his mentor Kenny Payne left to coach Louisville, so
yeah,
that's another guy that kind of helped him out. He's not in the right headspace.
I was bigging up, you know, Julius Randle. I'll take Julius Randle. You know, if I could put a team around him, you know, if I could put the right pieces together, I think that there's a lot of different kind of variations of different kind of teams that Julius Randle would play really well in, but it's not working here. Now, at the end of the day, he is immature. There is no doubt about it. You know what I'm saying? And there's no doubt. And you got to be, to be a leader, you got to be mature, especially at the Garden. And without a doubt, his body language is, even when he was winning, his body language is always all off.
You know you're not going to get equal value if you try to move him, right? So, like.
I don't know about that.
Unless we trade for Westbrook.
Knicks are in a bad spot.
We held accountable.
I don't know, man. Because this is a draft where everybody's trading picks. Like, no one is trying to really keep their pick in this draft. All the ESPN insider stuff, no one sees Paolo Banchero, Chet Holmgren, the other kid, the small forward. There are no franchise players coming in this draft. Next year and the year after, there's some stuff brewing. But in this draft, like if the best time to not be good would have been last year, because you had guys that you could have shot for. But this draft, it's almost like you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. If you're the Knicks, because
there's always someone
you can't tank.
There's always one person
for the Knicks. To me, the strategy is trade Julius, because this ain't it, the marriage is over. It's none you could do to fix it. He just looks, you know, I mean, we were watching the Wizards game and he just looked like it just wasn't working. Like it just the offense flowed better when it was flowing through RJ. Okay, it just looked, everybody's touching the ball. It looked more enjoyable, like, you know what I'm saying? So they gave up the big lead at the end. But I mean, the Knicks are just in a bad spot, and this was probably the worst time to really have a losing season, because you're gonna get a piece, but there's like a lot of hard threes. Right now,
you're not really in a bad spot. The only bad part that we have is really his contract. And even his contract's not crazy. He's making $32 million. He's probably worth $25 million. And we got all our draft picks.
The cap is going up this year. Yeah,
so you know, we should be able to draft him. We should be able to trade him for someone that's equally undesirable. That's the problem.
I don't know about that. I think that you get a couple of guys and a pick, you probably still get something from them.
We could definitely draft them. We could trade them for Westbrook. That's for shit sure.
Any day now. Next.
Yeah. Would we do that?
No.
But if you think about it, we trade for Westbrook. We deal with Westbrook for 1 year and that's it.
He's going to pass the ball. He's going to get assists. People are going to get, you know.
I'm not in this conversation. No, not happening.
The only problem we're having with trading for Westbrook is RJ's alpha may be he may put a chink in RJ's alpha, his armor a little bit.
His style of play doesn't mesh, but like I don't think he's gonna like take the ball all the way. I think he understands like, you get your shine, you know, I'll do what I can, like.
At least maybe at this stage of the game, of his career,
there has to be some writing on the wall.
The only good thing about this next season is that we got a better record than the Lakers.
Whoa, shots fired, y'all. Shots fired. Hey, listen. Shout out to Clearview. Clearview's a fan of both, which is interesting. It's like, yeah, it's
like being a Met Yankee fan.
Can't be both. You gotta pick a side, bro. You gotta pick a side. At some point, you gotta pick a side. But needless to say, so for the topic of the night, obviously, something occurred on Sunday that set the world on fire. Okay, if you were living in a cave, or if Will Smith. Will Smith at the Oscars ran up on stage after Chris Rock had made a joke towards his wife, Jada Pinkett Smith, and he smacked the shit out of Chris Rock. I mean, just to say it bluntly, he assaulted him in terms that, you know, that because that's what he did. He assaulted him. He's lucky he didn't go to jail. But you know, I guess the question I would ask you guys, right? What was it? Was it just? Did his actions take away from a historic night? You know, and I start with you, Wall Street, because you wonder if you want to tackle this.
I was just joking. I didn't think that he was actually going to talk about this.
But I think we talking about it.
I think that they all got mental issues, bro. I think they all got mental issues. I know there's a couple conspiracy theorists. You know, this like looks like some Illuminati type shit, right? Where it's like, yo, you don't go up there. If you Mr. Superstar Black Man, don't go up there and slap this other superstar Black Man right now in front of the whole country, then you know something bad is gonna happen. When you look at it right there, he almost looks like he's acting, but like he's scared. He's telling him, if you really look at it, I'm big on body language, bro. I'm big on body language. When he's yelling, he almost looks scared to me. He looks like a scared little kid talking about, keep my wife's name out your fucking mouth. You really look at his face, he looks like a scared little child. And maybe that facial expression is like, as all of this is happening, he's like, am I throwing my career away right now? So maybe some of those things, because he doesn't just look like, if you really look at it, he doesn't look really angry. His facial expressions don't even match what he's saying. He almost looks like he's ready to cry right there at that moment. But, you know, he has been violent before. Okay. I think that you want to talk about what happened. You got to talk about mental issues and amongst a lot of celebrities, you know. So, you know, there's celebrities that are even keel. But there's been a history of celebrities that, I don't know, I always thought, like, when I thought about Michael Jackson, I told my father one time, I was like, yo, you know what happened to Michael Jackson? And he goes, what? I go, the lights. And he goes, you're a retarded little kid. You know, like, he really, like brushed me off. It was like, yo, the lights. You're not supposed to be in the lights like that. Mm. You know what I'm saying? You got to have some privacy. You know, so when you're in the limelight like that, I feel like if you're not, I feel like some people just aren't mentally, you know, capable of holding it, especially to a certain point. Throughout his whole career, he's been a very strong person. But, you know, I think him and his whole family is a little weird. Even those kids are a little weird.
Yeah. Big task at hand agrees with you, by the way. He said Wall Street is a real one to recognize that.
Thank you.
All right. Coach.
In short, like, you defend your wife, like, I get it. I definitely felt like Will Smith did a great job of keeping a clean image, like, his whole career. So, like, for that, like, moment to occur at the Oscars was a little unsettling. I definitely don't think you put your hands on someone like Chris Rock in public, you know, because like he's smaller than you, you know, like you take him backstage or something, you have a word with him.
He was Pookie.
Like, yo,
you put your hands on Pookie. You know, so you don't get no points like, for that.
Yeah, exactly. So like, I get it. Like, okay, you feel like you had to defend your wife at that moment. Like, cool. I heard allegedly there's like more to it. Like, you know, they had a long standing history, but I don't know.
Yeah. I heard the same thing. That there was beef. Like, there's prior beef to this, and this was like the culmination of it.
Well, you know, like you still won the award, so congrats on that end. But yeah,
he might lose it though. He might lose it because of this. Yeah, they're talking about swift action.
They let him walk out with it already. Like that defeats the purpose. Stop the whole show, but whatever.
You're right. Why didn't they? Right? It's questionable. Like, why didn't you? You know,
ridiculous after the fact.
I don't know. Ed Dollars.
Yo, for real, it was disgraceful, man. I mean, you know, I'm married. I got children. I got a mother-in-law. I got no pair. You know what I'm saying? If someone disrespects my house, my wife out in the streets, yes, I'm going to defend her honor. But those weren't the streets. Those were the Academy Awards where you were going to be, where you were nominated as best actor in a film for the year. You know, probably one of the best days of your life was going to happen there. Additionally, his wife isn't just his wife. It's Jada Pinkett Smith, who's an actress in its own right and hosts various shows on television. Table Talk. And dated her son's friend and slept with them because of your open marriage that you guys openly talk about. I mean, these guys are all over the social media. They're all over Instagram. They're all over podcasts. They're all over everything, man. Chris Rock is an entertainer, and what he was doing was an entertainment skit. He's a comic that was hired for that particular evening, and his joke wasn't even that difficult. I watched G.I. Jane. I found Debbie Moore to be super sexy in her shaved head. I thought it was amazing. And the fact that she was like, oh, G.I. Jane 2, you know, ultimately alopecia is not cancer. Let's be real right there. Yeah, right. Exactly. Alopecia. Yeah.
It's an autoimmune disease.
Basically, in everyone's life, if you have some type of stress at one point or another, you'll have alopecia. It's just, you know.
Exactly. And if you rub $300 million on alopecia, it makes it feel better.
No, that's not downplayed.
Rub $300 million on it.
But the bottom line is that Will Smith, you know, number one, he laughed at the joke. Number two, he saw his wife, and his wife could have just put her hand on his leg and said, don't worry about it. It's not worth it. No, he bypassed that. He went up on stage, right? And he smacked a person on stage at the Academy Awards, award show that was produced by a black man. Where he hit a black man, and he was going to win best actor as a black man. It sullied the whole night. And you know, I'm gonna go on. I'm gonna take my background off, and I gotta show you guys something.
It's a historic night, man. I'm in the middle of reading this book.
Yeah. Will?
Oh wow!
And I was reading it, and it's about inspiration. It's about like, you know, this guy's like, you know, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and how he came up. How violence is not the answer. How love is everything. I'm reading this book. And the more you read this book and you see that incident, you got to separate the two, man. And he really did a disjustice for himself. He did a disservice to the people that he portrayed in that movie that he actually won the Academy Award for. And it's just a sad thing, man. You know,
he set black people back like 30 years.
No.
I wouldn't say that. Wait, hold on. Listen. There it goes.
Frame it in from a Knicks perspective, right. You know, that's when, you know, the guy stressed out, man. You know, his wife had an affair. They have an open relationship. He has some issues that are unresolved, and the lights might be too great for him. Like Hector mentioned, and it all came to a palm on that day, akin to what's happening with Julius this year. You know, the fans are back. you know, things are not going your way. The coach is not riding you. You got a new young buck taking your shine, and things are falling apart. And Will Smith chose violence. Randall is choosing chaos. You know,
you're already in the league. Be happy, man. Like you making billions. Try to find that peace. I'm sorry. Like I can't tell people's problems, but you know, like.
Yeah. I mean, listen. In this situation, it was just a bad look. Initially, I was torn because I was like, well, he's defending his wife. But then as I thought about it, like I slept on it and I'm thinking about it on my way to work, I'm like, yo, you never mess with the money. And he just killed his brand. He gonna go on stage after he assaulted, because let's talk about it in real terms. He assaulted Chris Rock. He could have pressed charges. A lot can still happen to Will Smith right now. And, you know, whatever happens, he needs to bear that because he did that. And everyone's witness to it. Yo, this shit was on the internet 5 minutes after it happened. Now how I know that? Because my wife was on Instagram and was like, yo, Will Smith just smacked Chris Rock. And we like, what? Wait a minute. Like, no, that's fake. We turned on the Oscars. And they were literally, it was literally like, because we DVR'd it. It was literally 5 minutes from the time that it happened. I'm like, yo, this shit just happened. So it went viral like that. And you got a black man assaulting another black man, which is bad, on a night of historic
significance
that, you know, you had a black man that was the show's creator. You had black women that were part of hosting the event. I mean, you had so many things going on for people of color for that we were winning. And then he goes up, he assaults Chris Rock, and then he wins the award. Everybody's like, oh man. They give him the standing ovation. And he's amazing. Up there crying, talking about he wants to be a vessel for love.
Yeah. Oh, I just Come kept on, on saying bro. To myself, you just smacked the motherfucker, right? And then he would say something else about peace, and I would just look at the screen, but you just smacked the motherfucker.
No, I will say that.
What are you talking about? Come on.
No, I will say that Chris ate that.
Oh,
Chris ate it.
Oh.
Imagine if he would have fell.
Woo-hoo. Not only that, he didn't hit him back. Because any of us, I guarantee, if any one of us in this chat,
I'd have cut him. So, I'd have pulled out my little blade and cut him.
We'd have been a fight right there. The Oscars would have went to commercial. Because any of us would have been fighting right there.
Not only did he not hit him back, but he
continued with his monologue.
He continued as if it didn't happen and made a joke about it.
Yeah.
You know, he should be applauded. I mean, I'm more of a Chris Rock fan than I ever was because of that.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Like, we all would have been fighting. They'd have been like, oh, the Oscars just went to break.
Well, I was hoping that he would just look at them and just make one more joke. And even if he would have made one more joke and ran, that would have been great.
I would have loved if he said, man, Will Smith is mad in March. Imagine in August.
Yeah, that would have been great. He should have made another joke.
Yo, for real, man. You know, it's like, do that to Jada Pinkett, right? Like,
yeah, but if you watch it back, so Chris Rock continued, and you know this is a guy that has toured the world making jokes. Yeah. He was fumbling on his words.
Yeah, he was.
You know,
mad.
Yeah, he
just got smacked. Like,
yeah, no, but it was, but you know, but it was, but when you really think about it, you know, I know he just got smacked, but he was able to continue. But you know, he was. I think he was talking to somebody in his mic, and they asked him if he could continue. He was like, nah, I go on. You know?
Let me ask you guys a question. How disrespectful was that smack? Like, he didn't punch him. He smacked him.
It was a 20 on a 1 to 10 scale.
And then not only
that classic. Like, all he needed was a white glove. Not only that,
but let me tell you something. When you smack somebody, you don't turn around. When you turn around, you basically not just only smacked them, but also said, not only am I going to smack you, but I'm going to give you my back because I know that you're not going to do nothing about it. See, because right there when he turned around, like, he could threw the microphone at the back of his head. He could have tackled him from behind, pushed him off the stage. you know? But what? Will turned around. He wouldn't do that to a lot of other people, though. I'll tell you, if it was The Rock up there making jokes.
What did Charlie Murphy say on the Chappelle show when you get slapped? Somebody got to go after that.
Exactly. Yeah, there was a gunfight after that. Yeah.
He's like, I challenge you to a duel.
And Will Smith.
But the swiftness of the slap, it was like immediately, whap. It was crazy. And he like, he those Muhammad Ali lessons, those were real lessons, man.
Yeah, yeah.
He did it with the swiftness, and you saw his stiff hand at the end of it. I was shocked.
Look at this. Bam! Like, it was quick. Like, it was just like, damn. Like, oh, shit. Like, you know what I mean? And it was crazy. And, you know, and then him crying afterwards is just showing that, you know, he got caught up in a moment, and you can't get that back, especially now. Yo, that went viral so fast, y'all. Like, it literally, like, it happened so quick, and it just, like, it's basically Thursday. We're, like, 55 minutes away from tomorrow, and it's still a topic of discussion. This is a basketball podcast talking about a man getting smacked in the face.
And about that slap hurt me a little less than the next season hurt me from coming off the fourth seed last year. I felt like this year, Tibbs came up to me as a Knicks fan and slapped me across the face like Will Smith did to the Knicks.
There's never no comparison. Tibbs hurts more than that every day.
Tibbs slapped every Knicks fan in the face with quickness.
Yeah, can I ask you guys one quick question? Do you think Tibbs is back next year? Without a doubt, he's back next year, right?
They said they're supporting him. They confirmed that they're bringing him back. Yeah,
Worldwide West is going up to Jim Dolan and was like, it's Tibbs' fault. Worldwide's not playing around. He's like, yo, it's Tibbs' fault.
Yeah.
I mean, do the same thing.
You gotta figure this out.
It's not just Tibbs' fault. It's the you know, Hector says it a lot. He didn't have a lot of help. At the same time, he didn't help himself either. You know, Evan Fournier was a mistake. Kemba was a big mistake.
Fournier is fine. Shooters don't grow.
Evan Fournier is okay. Maybe he should be an assassin off the bench, actually.
Listen, that's for the next coach to figure out.
Yeah. He needs to come off the bench. You know, and I know we're going on long, not long right now, but, you know, if you watch Evan Fournier play, whenever he's on defense, and he's played defense pretty well over these last four games, he's been contesting a lot of shots. He got a couple of steals. He's crafty. I watch him because I hate him, and I want him to twist the ankle and get off the fucking court. But check it out. One thing. If you watch, when players see that Evan Fournier is in front of him, they go into a basketball move that I've coined, right? You know that there's bump gathers and there's Euro steps and there's reverse layups and all these stuff. When they see Evan Fournier under the rim, they go to what I call the warm-up drill layup, when they just walk up to him and finger roll it right in his face, like if he's not even standing there.
This is what they think when Evan Fournier is in front of them.
What am I gonna do? Am I gonna do a reverse? Am I gonna do a spin move? No, I'm gonna go into my warm-up drill layup.
I'm gonna get paid. I'm getting the bag.
We went 3-1 on the last stretch. Who's your player of the week? We beat Miami.
RJ.
RJ. Definitely RJ.
Without a doubt.
Well, last segment, we got the player of the week and the not so player of the week.
Not so player.
So the player of the week, where you got RJ?
I got RJ.
I'm gonna give it as a tie for RJ because RJ's been doing his thing since the All-Star break. But Obi has been playing well too. Yeah. Obi and Quickly has been playing well. So I'm gonna give it a Quickly.
I'm giving it to Quick, man. That Miami game was all we needed, one of the top teams in the East. Like, Quick got it. Like, he put on.
Yeah. And the not so player of the week is
the greatest. I thought you were gonna say the greatest single season 3-point shooter in Knicks history.
Man, you a hater,
Evan Fournier.
Randle, man,
he's
not so
dirty tonight though.
Not so MVP of the week, Julius Randle, man.
It's definitely Julius. Yeah, I had to watch the game like
that. Yeah, 5 points. It was a crybaby. Like, come on.
He was a crybaby. Just because he cried. He could have had 30 points those five games, and still crying off the court like a little baby. I can't deal with that.
Yeah, he's missing, you know, I guess he fell in love with New York, but New York don't love you. New York is right. What have you done late in me town?
That's right. That's right.
Don't care about what you did. Last year, it's all about this year.
Don't pack your bags just yet, but your days are numbered, sir.
Yep. So, you know,
I'm gonna miss his kid. I like his kid.
So, fellas, this is a great show. Definitely glad that the band is back.
Yes, sir.
Any last words? Start with you, Coach. Any last words?
Listen, we only got a couple left. We're gonna finish strong. Tibbs, do right. Obi was playing 20 minutes. Keep him at 20 minutes, man. Damn, like, you see the boy go off, let him eat. Like, I understand Julius Randle is a papa. He's supposed to get the big piece of chicken, but you got to cut that chicken in half now because he don't deserve it no more.
Without a doubt. Yeah, Ed, what are your last thoughts, brother?
Yo, I want Tibbs to fall on his face, yo. I want him to play Randle as much as possible, and I want Randle to break his legs. And,
oh man, we do not mean that.
Everyone's gonna blame Tibbs because
he played too much, brother. Be a vessel of love.
I need something dramatic to happen to Tibbs.
Ed, you gotta be a vessel of love. Wall Street.
Let me start crying.
This is easy for me. The single greatest piece of information that I have gotten ever since we started this podcast. Ed has a thing for ball chicks. Never letting that down. This guy talking about G.I. Jane is kind of hot.
He did say that live.
Got a thing for ball chicks.
Big time.
Demi Moore was a bad baby back in the day. Miss Montolio.
Shave that head.
Demi Moore was the finest chick out there.
Yo, Big Task at Hand said, oh, damn, Ed.
Ed got a thing for ball chicks.
You.
Hey, listen, man. It is what it is. Hey, listen. You know, let's all be a vessel of love. You know, let's not wish violence on the Knicks.
For real.
And listen, man, it's going to be great. We still here. We're going to cover the playoffs. We're going to watch my sons.
Yes, that's going to be fun. We're gonna
watch my sons, you know, in the playoffs.
The draft.
Looking forward to that.
I look forward to the draft. You know, we're gonna have a fun night that night. That's going to be a fun night for real.
Yeah.
And, you know, listen, man, it's surviving the Knicks.
Surviving the Knicks, baby.
He hasn't came this far. What's another season? You know what I mean?
That's right.
We've been like 30 years. Right.
Got here poor. Don't matter what happens. Got here with nothing. I came here hungry. What's the worst? I got here starving. What the?
But you don't lose nothing if you ain't making
it. You ain't losing nothing. You don't got it.
You got it.
That's the line of the night. You don't lose nothing if you ain't got nothing.
You can't lose nothing if you ain't got nothing.
Word.
Seriously.
And on that note, I want to thank my brothers. I want to thank Big Task at Hand for showing up. You know what I'm saying? Definitely.
What's up, y'all?
He's definitely talking about scouting the playoffs for talent for the Knicks upcoming season.
Oh, every year.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's every year, definitely. And thank my brothers for showing up. You know what I'm saying? I want to thank definitely Wall Street for figuring out his laptop.
Tech, shout out to the Tech.
Shout out to the Tech support.
Wall Street, AKA Tech Support. There we go.
Took 3 weeks. We did it in record timing.
You know what I'm saying? I want to thank my brothers for having a great show. Appreciate y'all.
And
everyone watching out there, have a great night. Appreciate y'all.
Peace. Good night, y'all.
Good night. Peace.
Later.